Will the House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take the final roll.
30 members present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Moss, Brown, Parker, Zaroff, and Halford are excused from the call. Representative Zaroff is present. I don't know about any other members. You can seem better than I can, Mr. Speaker. And Representative Rogers is excused from the call of the House until playing time.
Record, please show that Representative Miles is present. Prayer today is by Pastor James Batten, Chapel by the Lake. Members, please rise for today's prayer.
Let us all pray. Almighty God, at this beginning of a new week, grant that all those who labor in this legislative body may have a fresh sense of energy and of commitment. We pray, O Lord, that you will endow each one with wisdom for the accomplishment of duties, with a spirit of cooperation for the common welfare. May the hours of meetings, discussions, and debates be productive and fruitful and of benefit for the people. In the name of Christ, amen.
Record, please show that Representative Duncan is present today. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 89th, 90th, and 91st days and House Supplement Number 45.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent of the journals for the 89th, 90th, and 91st days and House Supplement Number 45 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and journal supplements will stand approved. The guest for introduction to the House this morning, Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, we have a young lady from Palmer, Alaska, who's down here on the Rural Student Vocational Program, Lorraine Wellman. Lorraine, would you please stand?
Representative Osterbeck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I've got one of my constituents here, a young lady from Ivanhoe Bay, and she's on the program of RSVP and will be a page for this week in the House, Brenda Shelikoff.
Representative Guy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is with some pleasure I'm introducing some friends from my home village, and also the fellow I'm going to introduce is the employee of the Chalista Corporation, Matt Nikolai in Gallery A. And also in Gallery A, it is with some privilege and pleasure I'm introducing my wife for the first time in all the 8 years I've been coming down here, Nastasia. And also in Gallery A, we have our youngest boy, whose name is William Jewel Guy, but he's known as Cubby Bear. Sitting next to him is his friend Vern Herbert. Verna.
There are further guests for introduction. Messages from the governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Honoring Roberta Johnson, 25 years of territorial and state service by Senator Ray. Honoring Laura Elizabeth Hayes, Society of Distinguished American High School Students by Senator Coletta. The following citations have been passed by the Senate and are returned. Honoring Louise Brabow, only current state employee with 35 years service. Honoring Joe Hajdu, Haidu. And honoring Amy Lou Barney. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs is at House Joint Resolution 1, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska providing for a unicameral legislature under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 1 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, signing Dupas, Parker, and Gardner. Signing no recommendation, Miller, Martin, and Metcalf. House Joint Resolution Number 1 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 389, State Regulation of Fireworks, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Martin, Barnes, O'Connell, and Parr. Having no recommendation, Malone. House Bill 389 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 510, Special Appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for a grant to the Iliamna New Wayland Electrical Cooperative under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 510 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Parker, Gardner, Metcalf, and Martin. House Bill 510 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 545, amending the child protection laws, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 545 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Miles, Munson, Byrne, and Buchholz. House Bill 545 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 615, exemption from municipal property taxation, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Munson, Miles, Chatterton, and Buchholz. House Bill 615 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 651, establishing the Alaska Community College System, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 651 and recommends it do pass and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Munson, Miles, Chatterton, and Buchholz. House Bill 651 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 838, Debt Service for School Construction, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Munson, Chatterton, and Buchholz. House Bill 838 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 907, Collective Bargaining, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 907 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Parker, Gardner, Fuller, and Metcalf. Signing do not pass unless amended, Martin. Signing no recommendation, Eliason. House Bill 907 has no further referral. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 932. Creating the Office of Rural Development and the Rural Development Council, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 932 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Branson, Carney, and Metcalf. Having no recommendation, Parr. House Bill 932 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 970, a special appropriation for regional aquaculture associations under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 970 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, signing do pass, Carney, Fuller, Osterbach. Signing do not pass, Chatterton. No recommendation, Miles and Jarrell. House Bill 970 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Commerce is at House Bill 994. Continuing the existence of the Board of Welding Examiners and amending the statute relating to its powers and responsibilities under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 994 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Munson, Halford, Bettisworth, Osterbach, and Brown. Signing do not pass, Randolph. House Bill 994 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, reference of House bills.
House Bill 1005 by the Commerce Committee. An act continuing the existence of the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors and amending the statutes relating to its powers and responsibilities and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson. House Police Entities. Brings us to consideration of daily calendar. There is no calendar today, so consideration of daily calendar will be waived. Unfinished business. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up that, make the motion that House Bill 474 be removed from the Health and Social Service Committee and forwarded to the next committee of referral, the Judiciary Committee.
Representative Martin, are you making a motion?
Yes, sir.
House Bill 474?
Yes, sir.
Motion is to move it from the HES Committee to the Judiciary Committee?
Yes, sir.
And the motion before the body is to move House Bill 474 from the HES Committee to the Judiciary Committee. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So during the past 3 weeks, we've had a lot of comments on this by people who obviously are concerned, but their concerns are need to be answered, and I have in some cases come up with proper answers to at least try to. I think it's necessary to give a little report on this situation today. First of all, sir, this subject is really above politics, and I think that's where part of our problem is, that we should not be voting according to party lines. We should not allow egotism also to be a deciding factor. I can assure you, as some have said, that I have no pride of authorship in presenting this bill. And I do feel somewhat ashamed that this needs to be taken as a means to correct a problem. Who would have ever thought that Americans, and even Alaska, would have succumbed to such a drastic means to solve her problem of caring for the poor? In this society and in this world, there is no other animal on earth that destroys its offspring before birth, much less after. I also believe, sir, that we should not allow political power to be the deciding factor on how we place our vote. Some feel that to let a minority have its way is a sign of weakness, when it is really a matter of life and death. I don't think we should let false pride or political advantages mislead us into making a personal decision that might disturb our conscience for the rest of our life. You're not being asked today to decide the issue. I only want you to do that after you have studied the problem and have taken an opportunity to discuss the pros and cons in an intelligent and open atmosphere. What I am asking today in your vote is that we allow discussion on the issue. Now, we often pride ourselves as leaders. We were elected by the people to make major decisions on behalf of the public. But there seems to be one question that many are afraid to talk about, and this is the determination of life, or more commonly known as abortions. I really can't understand why we should be afraid to discuss any issue if we are supposed to be the leaders of this state. But there have been false fears that have developed in our minds, and I'd like to answer some of these. They prevent fulfilling our leadership roles by not facing up to the subject at hand. Now, some say it is a no-win issue. The question is, no win for who? For whom? The unborn child, or for your political well-being? If it's a 50-50 issue, as some say, then no win politically should mean you are free to vote your conscience. Others say for 20 years, a bill has never been pulled out of a committee. Now, you know, that's really a false barrier to be put up by a majority. And it certainly someday will be broken. Alaskans like to pride themselves in the being first. I ask, what greater reason can you have to break this first than to discuss? And that's all I'm asking for right now, discuss the issue of life. And some legislators bring up a real good one. They say, well, you're dealing with a moral issue, and we shouldn't legislate morality. What a real phony cliche that one is. We deal with morality every day in our legislative duties. Currently, we have passed legislation that is very meaningful and pertaining to the morality of our society. Domestic violence makes it quite clear that one should not beat his wife or abuse his children. We have laws saying that do not allow rape or murder or robbing of your neighbor. And we are very much concerned about alcoholism and drug abuse. These are moral issues. What about slavery just 100 years ago? One of the major criticisms about slavery, the freed of slaves, many said this was a moral issue. Those who had slaves said it was private property and you shouldn't mix morals with government. We overcame that problem. Millions and more millions are spent because we are our brother's keepers. And that's a moral issue. Or do you vote according to where you get the most votes from? And what about our older people? Is it not a moral obligation to care for them when they can no longer care for themselves? Or do you only vote because of their political power and their voting power? If we continue the way we're going now, I wonder how soon it will be before someone introduces a bill to put these people to sleep because they are unwanted or live lives devoid of value. Now, some legislators bring up the issue or the excuse, the unwanted child. This cliche is probably one of the worst kind of pseudo-sympathy one can exclaim. Unwanted by whom? By the mother-to-be? Or a society that had become greedy and selfish? People who throw out this cliche have given little thought, or perhaps no thought at all, to the thousands of childless couples within our society who definitely want to adopt children, where so few are available. And if you want to check, our state adoption agencies have had so many requests in the past few years to adopt children that they cannot fill. They don't even keep a list nowadays. Some of the legislators have used the Supreme Court as the big excuse for not touching the abortion issue. And this is really hypocrisy because Alaska is one of the first states, and three states before the Supreme Court legalized abortion, Alaska passed such a law. Now, it has been asked by some legislators that I introduced a bill that would put the question to the voters at the next statewide election. And I was very conciliatory to this suggestion and have asked four chairmen of various health committees to consider such a bill. This is certainly one way of getting the issue off the legislators' back. However, like other barriers that have been put up, I've been told that this is a roundabout method of pulling the issue out of committee. On the other hand, though, I was most encouraged by Governor Jay Hammond last week when he said he would be most supportive of such a bill. And we also know if such a motion or bill would pass, it would pass the Senate by a large majority, if not unanimously. So, Mr. Speaker, I want to reaffirm our responsibility as elected leaders of Alaska, and ask that we reevaluate our leadership role to the point that this legislative body is mature enough to at least discuss any major issue of public concern. And since it looked like that this bill through House Bill 474 will never have a hearing in the House Committee, I ask that we have an open discussion on state-funded abortions right now, will pass this motion that we can have a public testimony, perhaps in Judiciary Committee. I close, sir, with one quotation that is very meaningful from Thomas Jefferson in his defense of democracy, in his defense of freedom of the press and freedom of speech given in 1814. Quote, if a issue be false in its facts, disprove it. If false in reasoning, refute it. But for God's sake, let us freely hear both sides. Thank you, sir.
Question for the House of the motion to move House Bill 474 from the Hess Committee to the Judiciary Committee. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
10 yeas, 22 nays.
Motion has failed. Representative Anderson, House, please come back to order. If there's no objection, we'll revert to messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has failed to concur in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill number 394 amended, exempting the income of commercial airline flight crews from the Alaska Native Income Tax. Effective date, namely, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 394, Alaska Net Income Tax effective date, and respectfully request that the House recede from its amendment. In the event the House fails to recede, the President has appointed the following free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the above bills. Senator Tillian, Chairman, Senator Ray, Senator Sackett.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business.
Under unfinished business, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recede from its amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill number 394 amended, thus adopting committee substitute for Senate Bill 394 amended, and I ask that House members vote no.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 394 by the Finance Committee. An act relating to the Alaska Net Income Tax and providing for an effective date.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, just a little clarification. The other day when we passed this bill out of here, it was my understanding that that bill deals with a subject I think is quite important to a number of us in this committee, and that is whether or not people flying over the state with particularly Alaska Airlines have to pay their taxes or not. Now, obviously, if we go ahead and do in this body what it appears we're going to eventually do, that will be a moot question for 79 forward. But that that bill also took care of a problem. The Department of Revenue says they're going to have to pay back taxes. Those folks are going to pay back taxes from 76, 7, and 8. And it was my understanding that enough of that bill was going to be left so that problem would, in fact, be taken care of. And I'd like to know if that's still the intent.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, that's still open. I mean, the bill has been discussed in free conference, but there's been no decision made on that. A number of points were brought up that, such as whether or not it's really fair to exempt flight crews on Alaska Airlines and not exempt ferry workers who live in Seattle and work the marine ferry system, tanker crews who are in port only a couple of days in Valdez, but who the bulk of whose work is performed in Valdez, yet perhaps they live in California. Is it fair to exempt just one category of these types of workers? So it's a question we're looking into, and it's still one that hasn't been a decision made on.
Representative Cotton.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I had some discussions with the Attorney General, and his unofficial opinion was that we could certainly include both subjects in this bill, whatever actions we were going to take on tax relief, and combine that with this question of these airline crews. And I made representations to some people last week that, as far as I was concerned, they could both be in the bill. And if I led someone to believe that the Free Conference Committee would be bound by that, I apologize for that. But my own feeling was that they certainly could be, and as far as I was concerned, should be part of the bill. But that certainly doesn't bind the body or the free conferees.
question for the House is a motion to recede from the House amendment to Senate Bill 394. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
No yeas, 33 nays.
The House has failed to recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 394. At this time, I appoint a free conference committee of Representative McKinnon, Chairman, Representative Freeman, and Representative Eliason. Are there any other items unfinished business? Representative Guy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was not in when the roll call was made. May the record reflect my presence.
There's no objection. Record, please show that Representative Guy and Representative Buchholz are present. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask that you add a referral to Senate Bill 227. It's currently in the Rules Committee, and I'd like to refer it back to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee.
Senate Bill 227, could you tell us what the subject of the bill is?
It has to do with alcohol insurance.
Senate Bill 227 will be referred back to the House Hess Committee. Are there other items unfinished business? Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of 686.
Reconsideration of House Bill 686 is before us. Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 686 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to donors of food to nonprofit organizations.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, may we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. There are amendments. Will clerk please read the First Amendment?
Amendment number one by Mr. Metcalf. Page one, line 12. Between the words organization and may, add, comma, or a person who, on a nonprofit basis, distributes food to the needy.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I've proposed this amendment, basically.
Need a motion to return to second reading first.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment.
There is objection, Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I have proposed this amendment as a result of an occurrence that I heard about last year that distressed me, that our government could ever involve itself in the kind of things that it involved itself in last year. We had a woman in Anchorage who took it upon herself to, as a charitable activity, gather food, donations, and she fed the needy, dominantly the downtrodden, the drunks, the alcoholics, the people that need it worse than anybody else, the people that are below the qualification for welfare instead of within or above. She did all this all by herself from within her own kitchen. The city of Anchorage found out she was distributing food to the needy, to the hungry, to the people that otherwise had the option of eating out of garbage cans. And they found out she didn't have dual sinks in her kitchen. They closed her down. They walked into her house and said, "You're not fit to feed the needy." They proceeded to ensure that she could not proceed with her efforts to feed these people. And I heard the story from her, and I didn't believe it. And I discounted it as somebody that was tremendously stretching the truth until I ran across a couple more people that happened to be there when it happened, and they told me about it. I didn't believe it because of the atrocity that she described to me when it first occurred. But the officials of the city of Anchorage walked into her establishment, and this is what I was told by herself, and I didn't believe it at first until I heard it from somebody else, that they walked into her establishment and said, "This food is not fit to feed these people that otherwise have to eat out of garbage cans." And the reason they said it was because the cans were dented. They had good food sitting on the shelf contained in dented cans, and the city of Anchorage proceeded to poke holes in the tops of all these cans and fill them with Purex to ensure they were unusable. The city of Anchorage did it on the basis that this lady should be regulated in the same kinds of regulations that are imposed on restaurants. When I buy a hamburger, well, when I buy something, I have the right to, I think, be reasonably certain that it's clean, that it's edible, and so on. And essentially, if I were given something, I should have some reasonable assurance that it's edible and it's not going to make me ill. But on the other hand, if I'm given the choice of eating otherwise out of a garbage can, I'm sure that I would rather have a prepared hot meal that in somebody's discretion was done for the purpose of enhancing my nutrition. And for that purpose, I move again that we return to second reading for the purpose of this specific amendment.
The clerk, House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. The question for the House is a motion to return to second reading for adoption of specific amendment number one. Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment, I don't believe, would solve the problem of the health department. I don't think it's necessary in this particular bill. I understand there might be another amendment proposed, but this amendment does not solve that problem. And I would urge the members to vote no.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I might point out for clarification there are two amendments up there. The First Amendment, which is the one that we're discussing at this time, removes her from civil liability. Well, the bill removes the donors, like if Carr Godstein decides to donate food, removes him from liability, but I think it should go one step further, and I think it should remove her from liability for the free distribution of food. The Second Amendment goes into I felt that to accomplish the what was needed here required two amendments. The Second Amendment removes her from the authority of the local or state or regulations that are required for retail distribution of food, and says that then they can be regulated, but they must be regulated under a separate section of the law of comprised of substantially reduced regulations specifically for charitable distribution of food. And so the Second Amendment does completely accomplish the desired need. And I might say that there has been a bill languishing around for over a year now on this subject, and it hasn't even raised an eyebrow yet. And I think it's very important. I think that what happened there is hideous. And I think this body ought to be doing something about it. And if we don't do it today, I doubt if we will. So I move the amendment.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The people that request this, the nonprofit corporation, one of the things that I ask them is, do you want the nonprofit corporation exempt? And they said they did not believe that a nonprofit corporation that was in the business of distributing food should be exempt. They can ask that food be inspected if they have any doubts that it's that the food is all right. They also can throw away food, and they felt that they still wanted that they should take the responsibility and also accept the liability.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, a vote against this amendment would be a vote to continue the same kind of atrocity that occurred. That atrocity shouldn't be happening in the United States of America. It's something I would expect to see happen in the Nazi Germany.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I co-sponsored the bill because I believe that there was some merit to it. I fully understand what Mr. Metcalf is driving at. I know the individual he's talking about. He's a good friend of mine, and I know that she's providing good service in the community of Anchorage. However, I think that this bill doesn't really relate directly to what her needs might be, And this is really a local problem of the municipality of Anchorage that has been resolved somewhat. And I would like to work with Mr. Metcalf if he has some provisions that will truly take care of the lady that he spoke about. And I object to his amendment.
Question for the House is the motion to return to second reading. Purposes, adoption of specific amendment number one. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
13 yeas, 16 nays.
Takes 21 votes to return to second reading. The motion is failed. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number two by Mr. Metcalf. Page 1, line 22. Add a new subsection D to read. A person acting as a charity on a nonprofit basis who in good faith donates food to the needy for consumption by the needy shall be exempt from any state or local government regulations established for the purpose of regulating retail food distribution. Charity food distribution may be regulated by state or local government under a separate section of substantially less regulation than regulations established for retail food distribution.
Representative Metcalf.
I move the amendment.
Be necessary to have a motion to return to second reading. Representative Metcalf.
I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment.
There is objection. Representative Metcalf.
I'll have no debate.
Question for the House, a motion to return to second reading for adoption of specific amendment number two. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Thirteen yeas, 16 nays.
Motion has failed. Question for the body is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 686. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
29 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 686 has passed the House. Are there other items unfinished business to come before the House? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, under the general category of announcements, I've been asked by the clerk to read this one in anticipation of adjournment. Very shortly, the print shop has a storage of empty Xerox boxes for various members of the body's staff to start packing up and going home. And anyway, they are beginning to experience a storage problem and are asking members of our staff to go down and pick up these boxes so that they don't have to throw them out. So if you are anticipating leaving shortly, there are plenty of boxes down there to pack up and get ready and go home.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a Democratic caucus on a motion for adjournment.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, there will be a Republican caucus in the Butrovich room on adjournment.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, two bills today before State Affairs, SCR 50, extending the life of the Blue Ribbon Commission, and HB 514, increasing minimum benefits for retired legislators.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 this afternoon. Have HCR 64, University of Alaska lawsuit against the state, and then committee discussion on the Human Rights Commission review.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet today at 3 o'clock to hear the comments on Alaskan energy conservation by a distinguished spokesman for that, Cross Amory Lovins. Then at 4 o'clock and again at 7 o'clock, we'll go into subcommittee review of the energy bills we've been working on.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Yes Committee will meet at 1:30 this afternoon, working on House Bill 977, the health insurance bill.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Budget and Audit Committee meets at 4:30 in Senate Finance.
Representative McKinnon.
The Free Conference Committee on the Tax Bills and Permanent Fund Distribution Bill will probably meet sometime this afternoon. It'll be posted.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, House Finance Committee will meet at 1:30 to hear testimony regarding alternative energy and energy conservation, also to continue overview of the operating budget.
Any further announcements? Special orders. Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd request the privilege of the floor to talk about responsibility.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, today is April 14th, and while I have very little doubt that the majority members of this body have intended for some time and probably still intend to pass a tax relief bill of some kind, tomorrow is, in fact, D-Day for an awful lot of taxpayers. And I think it's incumbent on somebody in the majority to explain to the taxpayers who are going to have to sit down and write out checks tomorrow and seal their envelope and send it off to the state just what they are, in fact, to do. There are two types of people who come into this, people who are going to send in additional money, and more particularly those people who file quarterly, who, had we acted a bit more expediently, would not have to go through that process at all. Is there any way, I think my question is there any way that we can telegraph to the folks that maybe they can avoid that process? The whole tax relief issue could have easily been settled a long time before April 15th. And literally tens of thousands, I suppose over 100,000 people, are going to, and businesses are going to have to sit down and fill out their tax forms and send them in. I got a hunch that quite a few of them may well decide not to do it. If they do that, of course, they're technically or become criminals. But yet, if they go ahead and do it, they're sending in literally $100 million to the state that the state's going to turn around and send back. So I'd like maybe somebody in the leadership to, if there is an answer to this dilemma, give us some idea what these people might do.
Representative McKinnon.
There's an IRS form that allows for an automatic extension of 60 days, and I suggest they do that. And I would assume by that time our Department of Revenue will have, you know, the new tax bill we're assuming will be passed within a few days, and that by that time the Department of Revenue will have worked out the ground rules for any rebates due under that particular bill.
Representative McKinnon, do you happen to remember the amount of people that actually do file for extensions anyway? It's a substantial number of people normally file for extensions anyway. And of course, most wage earners have already paid.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I think the class of people who are really going to be affected by this the most detrimentally are those people who file quarterly. And I don't think you get a 60-day extension for that.
Representative Lassen.
Speaker, as a point of information, there was some testimony Saturday by the Commissioner of Revenue who said that in effect there have been more people filing more tax returns this year than ever before.
Not sure what that means. Representative Shiro.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are under special orders.
Yes, Representative Shiro. I guess I'd like to request permission of the floor to speak on, and you'll have to excuse my French, Objet d'Art. Is that right?
Representative Jaroff.
Okay, thank you. I've been noticing throughout the session that a number of people have had little symbolic figurines that kind of remind them of home and brings them a little bit closer there when they're here in the session. This last week I've had the opportunity to go home and to spend some time with my constituents, and I brought back two symbolic figures here that I'd like to share with the body. I have over on my right a bear waiting in anticipation for the Terror Lake project, and on this side here, this bear is a little bit more optimistic. He is submerged underwater, so he has made the preparations for living in that habitat should it happen. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
I move the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. The House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.